A salute now to the potato.
This is the future.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
It's alive, it's alive!
It's the sound of science!
This is National Potato Month, and so many of the potatoes that make their way onto our dinner plates come from Michigan. David Douches heads up MSU's Potato Breeding and Genetics Program, and yes, there is such a thing. And David, I guess it's a real testimonial to your more than 32 years of researching potatoes that everyone in Spartan Land knows you as Mr. Potato Prof.
Yeah, if you saw me driving around campus, and my license plate says Spud, so I kind of wear it on my sleeve.
It's terrific. You have such a wide array of research going, and to consider the fact that Michigan is one of the nation's top potato producers, there have to be a lot of farmers and manufacturers that are following your work.
Right. Michigan may be an important potato state, but a lot of the work we do has a national focus.
Because you're developing different strains of potatoes, aren't you, for consumers? Because I'm guessing our potato consumption habits have really changed in the last 50 years. It's not grandpa's diet or grandpa's potato anymore.
Right, right. Over 15 years ago, we really saw that there was kind of a change coming in the way people were eating potatoes. And we developed a new variety that we called Jacqueline Lee. And it actually didn't actually fit the market at that time because the shape and color didn't really match what the consumers were looking for. But now the variety is actually licensed to a company and they're marketing it nationally.
We have gotten more adventuresome, haven't we, in our eating habits?
Oh, yeah. I think it's really been changing. I think our young people are driving some of that.
How so?
Well, I think it's the lifestyle of our young people. And so the big sit-down dinner with baked potatoes is not what people are looking for today, but more of something that they can cook up quickly but still give them some good taste.
Now, you work with students from all over the world working to develop potatoes that are kind of tailor-made for specific countries. Talk about that work.
I have international students getting their master's and PhDs coming from Kyrgyzstan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, and then I also have postdocs that are from Colombia and Argentina. So you can see that these students are coming here to study, and they're actually working on potato in their countries and coming here and have an opportunity to learn more.
And so by kind of working with breeding, you can actually kind of develop one that thrives in a given country.
For example, in Kyrgyzstan, which is over in Central Asia, they have problems with nematodes and Colorado potato beetle and late blight, which caused the Irish potato famine. So my student here is working on the late blight resistance, and our Iraqi and Saudi Arabians are interested in more of the drought tolerance. One of my students has a research focus in that area.
And it seems really that this is important work in fighting hunger.
Potato is one of those crops that, you know, we need to get our calories on the plate, and so it becomes a good base for a diet.
As you breed new types of potatoes, it strikes me that the science and technology available today has to make your job easier.
Oh, my goodness. I just think back 20 years ago and what we were hoping to do with the technologies that we saw on the horizon, and now I feel we're living those opportunities. I kind of feel that we're really in the middle of what I consider a golden age of taking the biotechnology that's been developing and applying it to our genetic improvement of potatoes.
Like, we know that the Human Genome Project was able to map out the human genome, and have you been able to do the same for the potato?
Not myself, but my colleague Robin Buell here at Michigan State led a worldwide team in sequencing the potato genome. So the human genome was sequenced in the early 2000s. The potato genome was sequenced in 2011, and that work to me is a mark on the calendar of how we can now approach some of our understanding of the potato and the genetics work that we do that will ultimately make it easier for us to breed better potatoes.
Professor Douches, I have to ask, what drew you to the potato to make this your life's work?
Well, I really was interested in vegetable breeding. And when I went to college, that's where I was putting my focus. But the opportunity came when I applied to graduate school, and a professor that worked on potato breeding and genetics offered me an assistantship. and I got fascinated with it, and I've really been lucky that I've been able to maintain that throughout my career.
More than three decades later, here you are, and I did see a photograph that shows that your office reflects your love of the spud. Tell us some of the potato heads that grace your office. I saw you holding a picture of a Sparty spud.
Oh, I have a Star Wars Darth Tater, and I have the Michigan State Mr. Potato Head, and somebody recently gave me a SpongeBob Mr. Potato Head, and I have a Santa Mr. Potato Head, so the collection has been expanding over the years. I tend to get them as gifts.
What's your personal favorite way to eat a potato?
Ooh, that's a good question. If you were to come to campus here and we were making our own potato chips from our research program, you would say those are the best potato chips you ever had. And we had the opportunity in February when President Obama came to Michigan State to sign the Farm Bill, and we shared some of the potato chips with him that we make in our research program. So the president had a chance to eat our potato chips. But I would say that I like roasting them on the grill.
That sounds wonderful. David Douches is the head of the Potato Breeding and Genetics Program at Michigan State University as we mark September as National Potato Month. Good talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.